Shischa on the Parsha. Parsha's Vayigash, as I said to the Tuesday crew, Parsha's Vayigash is very close to my heart. It's the day, it's the week that I tried out for Young Israel Oak Park. Will always be a Shabbos to remember, and a time with a Parsha with a lot of drushas, because as I told them, I think I spoke six times over Shabbos, so I've got a lot of material on the Parsha. But let's go through some material I never talked about that weekend. Interesting, a cliffhanger at the beginning of the Parsha that Yehuda is sort of, caught in between this rock and a hard place. He doesn't know what to do. Yosef telling him to go back home, and obviously he can't do that without Binyamin. So he says, Vayigash Yelav Yehuda, and he goes through the whole story, and he pleads for the return of Binyamin, or at least for himself to take Binyamin's place. Fine. And at this point, lo yachol Yosef lehisapek. Yosef couldn't hold back anymore. He sends everybody out, and then he screams, and everybody can hear him. So it's kind of interesting, why'd you send everybody out if you're going to scream so loudly? But either way, afterwards, the brothers can't say anything, right? They're literally speechless. Lo yachlu achiv lano so. They literally couldn't say anything. They couldn't respond. Yosef says, it's me, Yosef, your brother, and they did not respond. And then Yosef tries to appease them or to sort of prove himself. And he says in Mem Hey Dalid, Vayomar Yosef El Achav Geshuna Eli Vayigashu. He says another word, Vayigash, right? Not only Yehuda, but all the brothers. Come close to me, and they came close. Vayomer, and he says, Ani Yosef Achichem. I am Yosef, your brother. Asher Mechartem Osi Mitzrayma. I'm the one you sold to Egypt. Of all the things to try to appease the brothers, he's going to tell them that he sold them down to Egypt. This is probably not the time, Yosef. You're trying to reunite with your brothers, not redivide from your brothers. Why are you bringing up the fact that they sold you down to Mitzrayim? You've heard all of their discussions about how guilty they are. You taught, you saw, you heard how they blamed each other. And Reuven said, I told you so. Like, why would he bring this up at this point? So first of all, I quoted on Tuesday in the women's shiur, as we sort of summarized the parsha, I quoted an idea that I didn't know was from the Kutzker Rebbe, but lo and behold, it is the Kutzker Rebbe, so let's see it inside. The Kutzker Rebbe says, Haim Devarim Ela Mat'imim LiYosef HaTzadik. Is this befitting a person like Yosef the righteous to talk in such ways that this time where you're trying to bring the brothers back together, you're going to invoke the guilt that they should have, the shame that they should have? That's the first thing you're going to tell them, you know, as a righteous person. That's the first thing. While the tears are still falling down their cheeks from emotion. You're going to bring up this very heavy burden, this heavy sin that they committed. Says the Kutzker Rebbe, Ella HaPerishu, keep in mind that Yosef is trying to prove to them not only that it's really him, but also that he's worthwhile of their kinship, that they should have a relationship with him now. So what does it mean? Ani oso haYosef, I am the same Yosef. The same Yosef, Kemosha Hayisik Shinefradetem Yemeni, Beis Mechirasi Mimitzrayma. I am the same person that was the way I was when you left me, when you sold me to Mitzrayim. Meaning, Lo Hishtanesi Bimakum Hatame Vahamushchas Hazeh. I haven't changed at all. I'm still Jewish. I'm still religious. I still daven. I still keep mitzvos, even though I'm in this place of tumah of impurity, v'hamushchas, and destructiveness. V'ein lachem lid'og, and you don't have to worry. Ulai garamtem li l'hashchasas hamidos. Maybe it was one thing you were worried about selling me into slavery, but maybe you'd be even worried more about the ultimate downfall or the ultimate repercussions or consequences of you doing so specifically to Egypt. It's one thing to put me into slavery, but it's another thing to put me into such a desire-based society that they're completely magusham. They're completely involved in the wrong character traits. Hashchatat hamidot. You know, the destruction of character. So therefore, he says to them, don't worry, I'm the same person as I was when you sold me. Egypt hasn't affected me at all. Ani Yosef achichem mat'im liyos achichem. I am your brother, and I'm still befitting to be your brother. It's still appropriate to be your brother. Ben Yaakov, I'm still the son of Yaakov. Kmo az be'es, and just like I was at that time, asher mechartem osim mitzrayma, that you sold me into Egypt, I'm the same guy. So that's an interesting way to say it. But he's basically saying, just the way that you sold me is how I'm still here. You know, just, you know, even after all these years, I haven't aged in terms of my religiosity. I haven't had the consequences of being in such a culture. Yeah, Michael.
It's similar to, not exactly, but some way the way Yaakov spoke to Esav when
good.
He came back from.
Exactly. There is an interesting correlation there, right? Yaakov says to Esav, or at least he sends the message ahead to Esav, Im lovan garti, as Rashi tells us, v'targag mitzvos shamarti, right? I kept all 613 mitzvos, whatever that means. We talked about it before. But he's trying to say to Esav, now that's a little different because he's speaking to Esav, and the question is, why does Esav need to know that you're keeping mitzvos? Here, he's trying to prove his religiosity to the brothers who also keep mitzvos, right? And maybe they would be concerned that Yosef has lost some of that religious fervor. And Kamash Malan, he comes to teach them that, no, I'm the same guy when you sold me. I don't know why the word mechartem is relevant there, but that's how the Kutzker Rebbe says it. No, first they put him in the pit, and then they took him out of the pit and they sold him. They didn't know exactly who he would be sold to. They just knew that they sold him to a caravan. Right? Hamid Danim. He doesn't know that, they don't even know that he was sold to Egypt. Right? Hamid Danim, at least according to one parish, depends how you understand the Pesukim in Vayeshev, but it says of Hamid Danim, Machru Osel Mitzrayim. Right? It says that the Medanites, or the Midianites, unclear who that is, different or the same as the Midianim who come to Pesukim beforehand, but they were the ones that sold them to Egypt. So did that happen at the same time? Did that happen later? We don't really know. So it is true that they don't know necessarily that he ended up in Egypt. They do know that they sold him, right? They didn't leave him there in the pit. But the Sfas Emes has a different take on this. And he brings a parallel to this from a Gemara, I believe it's in Shabbos. Yeah, the Gemara in Shabbos, which talks about Har Sinai, right? The famous Gemara, Kaf Aleim Har Kegigis, right? Those Gemaras about Har Sinai and getting the Torah. So it says in the Gemara in Shabbos, Pezai, in Chazal Darshu Al HaPasuk, Al Haluchos HaRishonim Asher Shibarta. Right, it's referring back to the first Dibros, or the first Luchos, I should say, that that Moshe broke. And when Hashem talks about the first Luchos, he says specifically, those Luchos, Asher Shibarta, the ones that you broke. Why does Hashem have to say that? Just say HaLuchos HaRishonos. Moshe Rabbeinu knows which Luchos are the Rishonos. He actually carried them. So why does Hashem have to bring up the point, Asher Shibarta? So says the Gemara, Yasher Koach Sheshibarta. By Hashem invoking that activity, what he's basically saying is that I give my stamp of approval for you doing that. I agree with the fact that you broke them. You know the ones that you broke. The ones that you broke. And I didn't have a problem with that you broke them. Now, how exactly do you drush in the pasuk in that way is, you know, I'm already sort of giving you a little bit of creative understanding of how do you read the pasuk. Those luchos that you broke, and I didn't have a problem with, right? El aluchos harishonim asher shibarta, that you broke. But he never actually gets upset, Hashem. Hashem doesn't get upset at Moshe. But either way, Yashikach Sheshibarta, so says the Sfas Emes, Kacha Perish Gam Kan. That's also the explanation here. Yosef Nichem Osam. Why is Yosef saying this phrase, I'm the same Yosef that you sold me? Not to tell them that they should be guilty, but to tell them that I'm proud, or I'm happy, I'm pleased, you shouldn't be upset that you sold me. Yosef Nichem Osam Asher Mechartim Osi, Yasher Kochachem Shemechartim Osi. Though I'm the Yosef that you sold, and that's okay that you sold me. I'm okay with that fact. I don't have any PTSD from saying the words, Asher Mechartim Osi. I don't have a problem saying, you sold me. I'm not upset about it. And as it says in the Leviatal, don't be upset, as we'll see, as the Psukim say right afterwards. Viatal Teatzvu, you sold me, and that's okay that you sold me. Yasher Koach Shemachar Timosi, Kilu Mechyashalachan Yalechem. Specifically, through being sold, am I able to now sustain the rest of the family? Am I able to bring everyone here and make sure that they survive? So an interesting Sfas Emes. Also have to read into the words a little bit, but nonetheless, that's how the Sfas Emes says, Hashem chartim osi, and that's okay. I'm glad you sold me. Not just to say that that they should feel guilty. That makes a little more sense in terms of why the word mechartim is there. Katzker Rebbe doesn't 100% make sense. He could have said, I'm the same Yosef from when we left that first time. But unclear exactly why, according to Katzker Rebbe, he has to say Mechartam. Either way, let's move on. The Pasuk says, I'm trying to find, I know I have another one here. Here it is. Hold on. Trying to find, I think I had two more. Trying to make sure I don't. Okay, yeah, we can talk about that one. So the pasuk tells us later, "Vayagidu lo lemor," and they said to Yosef, they said to Yaakov, when the brothers come back to Yaakov, this is Memhe Chavav later in the parak. So the later in the parak, it says that they come to Yaakov and they finally tell him what happened. And ultimately, you would think Yaakov, you know, might get upset or try to figure out what happened. It says, "Vayigidu lo lemor, od Yosef chai v'chihu Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim v'yafei libo ki lo ha'amin lahem." Right? They say to Yaakov, "Your son Yosef is still alive, and he's even Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. He is the ruler over all of Egypt." V'yafei libo. Unclear how to translate v'yafei. He was struck in some way. The kilo ha'amin lahem, because he didn't believe them. He didn't believe that he actually he had grown to, you know, risen to power in Egypt. Says the Katzker Rebbe, I guess I'll implicitly ask the question, or I'll ask the question that maybe the Katzker Rebbe is implicitly asking, which is vayagidu lo lemor od Yosef chai. Yosef is alive. V'chihu Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. He's not only alive, but he's also the ruler over all of Egypt. So presumably one could have asked, why not just say he's ruling over all of Egypt? Why do you have to first tell me that he's alive? If he's the ruler over all of Egypt, of course he's alive. Says the Katzker Rebbe, the word chai doesn't simply mean that he's alive. It means that he's living. Says the Katzker Rebbe, ish chai zetzadik. Someone who's really living, it implies that they're real, they're righteous, that they're doing something with their life. If they're really living, that means that they're really righteous. V'lo ha'min Yaakov, and what does it mean that he didn't believe it? Lo ha'min Yaakov shu gam moshel v'gam tzaddik. He couldn't believe the fact that while Yosef was a tzaddik, he was also a ruler, and that being a ruler in Egypt didn't take away from his tzidkus. So idea number one that we said today from the Katzker Rebbe was that Yosef was trying to tell the brothers, I'm the same guy, even though I'm in Mitzrayim. Idea number two from the Katzker Rebbe is that not only was he still a tzaddik despite being in Egypt, but he was still a tzaddik despite being a ruler, a person of authority in Egypt. How many politicians, how many rulers, how many people in power do we know that once they get a little bit of power, they all of a sudden, you know, ignore or you know, start to be a little lax in their character. They try to leverage that power. They try to, you know, overwhelm others with that authority. They take advantage of other people because they can, because they have that ability. Says the Katzker Rebbe, that Yaakov couldn't believe that Yosef was on the one hand a tzaddik, he was an ish chai, and he was also Moshel. Me'ein tarti desastri. That would be an internal contradiction. It's really a halachic term, not going to get into it, but it's a contradiction to be both a tzaddik and a ruler. Someone who has power usually is no longer righteous. And therefore, that's what it means, the Katzker Rebbe says, that first he was chai, He was living and he was a Moshe, and that's also how you explain the end of the pasuk, that Yaakov couldn't believe it, that you can be a person in a position of leadership, a person of authority, and nonetheless retain that tzidkus, retain that righteousness without compromising it, either on your way to getting power or once you have the power to use it over other people. Very interesting concept. Obviously, it's something we should keep in mind. No matter what relationship we have, there's always going to be a hierarchy in every relationship in terms of what you're dealing with, in terms of maybe it's at work, maybe it's in shul, maybe it's in a family. There's always going to be a hierarchy. And the question is, are we still being righteous to those who are inferior in that dynamic? Right? Are we still being righteous? Are we still being humble? Are we still being kind to those who are lower than us in that position that we find ourselves in, either as a parent, as a teacher, as a boss or a superior or someone at work? We always have to watch out for being a moshel in one way or another, but also maintaining that level of tzidkus, that righteousness of when we weren't even in that position. And lastly, a very interesting drasha from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes tells us, Vayevkat Tzavarav Od, that Yaakov and Yosef cried on each other's shoulders. And the Sfas Emes says that Yaakov hitzgagea me'od al Yosef. Yaakov missed Yosef a lot. Therefore, it's strange that Rashi tells us, quoting Chazal, Yaakov, right, that Yosef cried on Yaakov's shoulders, but Yaakov didn't cry on Yosef's shoulders. So Amar Rabbi Seinu Shehaya Koreas Shema. Yaakov was saying Kriya Shema. So the big kasha everybody asks is, why didn't Yosef say Shema? If Yaakov was so, it was so necessary for Yaakov to say Shema right now. I should have talked about this last night, Adina, in our class. What am I thinking? But if Yaakov is so in the midst of saying Shema because you have to say it right now, the Zman is gonna pass. So then, why didn't Yosef say it? So he says that Kevan Shanashika v'achiba etzal Yosef hayu biglal mitzvas kibrav. For Yosef, there was kibrav aim going on, and therefore, for Yosef, he was involved in a mitzvah already. Lo zusha osik b'mitzvah part of mitzvah. It's not just that he's osik b'mitzvah part of mitzvah. When you're dealing with one mitzvah, you don't have to do another mitzvah. Ela she'etzem kiyum ha-mitzvah hi yuchad Hashem. And this gets back to something we talked about in our Wednesday night class, not only last night more explicitly, but even at the beginning of our class, which is, does kibud av ha'im reflect back to Hashem? Says the Sfas Emes, through the kibud av ha'im that Yosef was doing to Yaakov, that itself was yichud Hashem. It's not that he was doing one mitzvah and negating, and neglecting, I should say, neglecting Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is, at its core, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that is the acceptance of Hashem's kingship over the world. That is Yichud Hashem. And says the Sfas Emes, when Yosef was doing Kibud Av Ha'Em to Yaakov, he was essentially doing the same thing. He was being Mekayim Kriya Shema. He was recognizing Hashem's place in the world by being so loving and so affectionate with his father, with Yaakov. V'al yedei kiyum ha-mitzvah ha-gishamit, and through this physical mitzvah, hu misyached u mitzdabek im ha-mekor ha-ruchani ha-al-yom. Through this mitzvah of connecting to his father, he was able to basically connect to his father with a capital Aleph, his Av, his ultimate father in Shemayim. V'al shem kach nekra mitzvah, that's why it's called the mitzvah, milashon tzavta. Ooh, what an interesting drasha. The mitzvah is a tzavta. Tzavta, I don't know if people know, in Aramaic means to come together. A tzavta is like a group together. In yeshiva, we used to have tzavtas. It's kind of interesting because I went to an Israeli yeshiva, so you would think you would call it some Hebrew word. But the truth is they called it tzavta, like coming together. It was like a vad. Everybody would come together. A tzavta, so he says the word mitzvah is related to the word tzavta. Tzavta, to come together. Sheyesh lo kesher, achiza vehitzdabkut b'shorash ha'eloki. That's the connection that, not to Yaakov, he was hugging Yaakov, he was kissing Yaakov, but he was connecting to Hashem through that hug, through that relationship that he had with Hashem. He was connecting through that mitzvah of doing kibud av em. Aval Yaakov, when it came to Yaakov, lo hayisa es lo mitzvah. He didn't have that mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to respect or to love. I guess it's a natural thing to love your child, but there's no mitzvah that we're beholden to love our child. We talked about that, or I talked about this a little bit in a different way in my Pesach Shabbos Hagadol Drasha that was printed out, whatever, that that mitzvahs are oftentimes used as a vehicle to do something that we're not always inclined to do. So if a parent already loves a child, so we don't need a mitzvah. Hashem doesn't need to order us, to instruct us to love a child. Of course, we're going to love a child. But for a child to love a parent, so sometimes that's a little more difficult, especially as we talked about last night, if you're a teenager or if you live far away or whatever it is, right? You still have to be mekayim kibud avim. So for Yaakov, however, Yaakov didn't have a mitzvah of kibud bino. He has a mitzvah to do things for his child, but not to love his child and to have honor to his child. But Yaakov shloi says, la mitzvah rak ava libno hayakor shema. He had to actually say Kriya Shema because he didn't have the mitzvah that would bring him together with Hashem to create that kingship like Yosef was doing. When Yosef hugged Yaakov, it was itself a kium of Kriya Shema because through hugging Yaakov, through loving his father, he created a connection to his father up on high, his father Hashem, that would be in itself a yichud of Hashem, a kinging or a coronating of Hashem. So a crowning of Hashem is what I meant to say. So we said a few different ideas today. Ani Yosef achichem Hashem achartim osim Mitzrayim. I'm Yosef that you sold to Egypt. How could he say such a thing? The time that you're reuniting, that's what you're going to bring up to your brothers. So he quoted a couple different things from the Kutzker Rebbe. First of all, that he's trying to tell them, I'm the same guy when you left me. That day that you sold me, I'm still religious. Even though you sent me to Mitzrayim, don't feel bad that I came to Mitzrayim because of your sale. Nonetheless, I'm still Jewish. Just like Yaakov, like Michael said, just like Yaakov said to Esav, Im Lavan Garti Tarik Mitzvah Shamarti, I still kept all the mitzvahs despite being by Lavan's house. Obviously a little different because why does Esav care that you kept mitzvahs? That's a whole different drasha. But the Sfas Emes also pointed out, Hashem Mechartim Osi is like the Gemara says in Shabbos that Asher Shibarta, that when Hashem says to Moshe, Asher Shibarta, that you broke, he was effectively saying, I'm okay that you broke them. And so too Yosef is saying to them, Asher Mechartim Osi, I'm okay that you sold me. Because ultimately, Kilu Mechia Shalachani Alechem, because it was for the sake of saving the family that you sold me, and therefore I can't hold a grudge. We then said, "Vaygidu lo lemor od Yosef chai v'chihu Moshe b'chol Eretz Yisrael." Not only is he alive, but he's also a ruler in Egypt. The Kutzker Rebbe says, "What does it mean to be alive? It also means to be a tzaddik." Being alive doesn't just mean having a pulse, but it means living with the life that you're given. He's really being chai. He's really living. Not only is he living, but he's not only is he righteous, not only is it tzaddik, but he's also a Moshe, he's also a ruler. That's the Kutzker Rebbe says at the end of the pasuk, Lo ha'amin lahem. Yaakov couldn't believe that Yosef was both righteous and a ruler. Usually when you get to a position of authority, you won't be righteous anymore. You'll leverage that. You'll look down at other people. And nonetheless, Yosef was both. That's what it means, Lo ha'amin, that Yaakov couldn't believe it, that Yosef was, first of all, still chai, he was righteous, even while being a ruler. Very fascinating drush. And then lastly, the Sfas Emes, we just said that Yosef was davening Kriya Shema. Yosef wasn't davening Kriya Shema because his relationship with his father, the mitzvah that he had of Kibud Avim, was itself a mitzvah which reflected back to Hashem, and therefore that itself was the kiyum of Shema that he was doing. And Yaakov himself didn't have that same mitzvah, and therefore he couldn't fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in that way. Obviously, an interesting drasha, not to be taken halacha lemaisa. If you have to say Shema, so try to do both. And if you want to know how to make that calculation, well, then you have to listen to the recording from last night, the Wednesday night class, where we talked about kibud avim vis-a-vis mitzvahs that you have to do, and when do you choose one over the other. Everyone should have a wonderful night and wonderful Shabbos. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow morning we'll have our legal holiday shiur. We'll talk about early American sports, early American Jews in sports. We'll talk a little bit about, I think, the halachas of sports or the history of sports with Jewish people and halacha of it. And then we'll get into a little bit of the anti-Semitism that Jews had to overcome, which ultimately brought them into athletics. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow morning at 9:15. Shachris is at 8 o'clock. Fast obviously starts around 6:29. And Shachris, 8 o'clock. Legal holiday shiur, 9:15. And then probably Daf Yomi after that at 10:15. I don't know how I'm going to do on a Friday, but Mirtz Hashem will work it out. Speaking of Daf Yomi, we have that right now.